Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, August 19th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. President Mugabe's cancellation of a state visit to Ghana has sparked speculation about his health.
Down here in Ghana, people are saying that it's because of domestic turmoil in Zimbabwe, and then I also read from some Zimbabwe websites that he's not coming because of health reasons.
Members of Women of Zimbabwe Arise stage a peaceful protest over delays in introducing free education in the country.
In 1991, this government, under Robert Mugabe, signed a free compulsory education ISESCA declaration. We have waited. They then passed a new constitution in 2013. They promised. We are still waiting.
And the leader of the Rural Teachers Union appears in court facing charges of violating some provisions of the dreaded Public Order and Security Act.
We appeared in court. He was granted $50 bail with conditions that he must continue to reside at Chairman's High School till the matter is finalized. He must report once every Friday at the nearest police station.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Some Ghanaians suspected that President Robert Mugabe cancelled his four-day visit to the country because of ill health and social, economic and political problems in Zimbabwe. Speaking on the line from Ghana, some of them said they were eagerly awaiting for President Mugabe, while others stressed that they were not interested in him, as most locals normally focus on domestic issues affecting them. Mr. Mugabe was expected to be conferred with a Lifetime Africa Achievement Award by the Millennium Excellence Foundation for playing a critical role in liberating Zimbabwe. Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached freelance journalist Selase Kove Seram for his take on Mugabe's cancellation trip to Ghana.
Just this morning in the news, I realized that he wasn't going to come anymore. Down here in Ghana, people are saying that it's because of domestic turmoil in Zimbabwe. And then I also read from some Zimbabwe websites that he's not coming because of health reasons. I mean, I don't know what the official reasons are, and I've not bothered to ask anyone. That's what I've heard.
Were people really waiting for his visit to Ghana?
As a journalist, I know Mugabe has quite a history with Ghana because at the point, I'm told he taught like in a high school in Ghana, married a Ghanaian woman and stuff like that. But it looks like his coming was part of an event that was being organized by the Millennium Excellence Foundation or so. And so he was supposed to pick up an award and give a speech. I'm told the event is going to go on anyway. But what I read from the news is that those who are organizing the event has not come up with any reasons why he's not coming. They only said that it's because of reasons beyond their control.
We are told that on the streets there is something visible. Tell us about the streets. What is there?
There are billboards. I've not taken like the major streets where I'm sure you're likely to find maybe flags of Zimbabwe or his pictures, but I've not seen that yet. I know anytime a head of state is coming to Ghana, we usually have stuff like that. But I don't know if that's been done for Mugabe or that.
And we have information that maybe the Ghanaian president was not going to be in when the president of Zimbabwe was visiting Ghana. Is that the case?
I really don't know, but from what I saw, it looks like the organizers of the event wasn't the government of Ghana. It was like a private award-giving body that organizes the Millennium Excellence Awards in Ghana. And this is something special. So they're inviting a bunch of people who are going to be giving awards as well. But I don't know the government's take on it.
And looking at issues concerning President Robert Mugabe, how do people regard him there? You know, how do they view him?
Trust me, I think Ghanaians are quite a bit different when it comes to like politics in other countries, unless you're having maybe a specific discussion with people, because locally they are concerned about their politics and what's happening with their various parties. And so you wouldn't see any Ghanaian being very vocal about like politics in another nation.
That was Ghanaian freelance journalist Selassie Kove-Seyram speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Accra, Ghana. Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Joy Bima, said Mr. Mugabe failed to go to Ghana as he has other commitments, including forthcoming international meetings in Kenya, Swaziland and New York. Members of the Women of Zimbabwe Arise WOZA pressure group today marched to the offices of the Minister of Education in Harare, demanding free education for children, almost 24 hours after staging a similar protest in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
More than 300 placard-carrying demonstrators handed a petition to the ministry's permanent secretary, Sylvia Masango, demanding that the government should introduce free education. Section 27 of the Zimbabwe Constitution stipulates that the state must take all practical measures to promote free and compulsory basic education for children and compulsory education for higher and tertiary education. WOZA coordinator Jenny Williams said children must not be asked to pay school fees because education is a right that is enshrined in the new national constitution adopted in 2013.
In 1991, this government under Robert Mugabe signed a free compulsory education ISESCA declaration. We have waited. They then passed a new constitution in 2013. They promised. We are still waiting. We are tired of waiting.
She said WOZA members had taken a decision to stop paying fees for their children with immediate effect, adding that they would approach the constitutional court if the government does not address their concerns.
We are boycotting paying any school fees, any levies from this third term up until they engage us and come up with a proper plan of action. Taneta, we are tired of paying school fees to buy baton sticks and shields, to beat journalists and WOZA women.
Education officials were not immediately available for comment. In a related development, another demonstrator, Benhilda Mutuva, said it was worrisome that the education sector was not growing despite parents contributing over $100 million in school fees every year.
As parents, we are paying about $100 million in school fees every year. Where is that $100 million going? Where there is no improvement, no new institutions for educational institutions being built.
Masango told Studio 7 that she would forward the petition to Education Minister Lazarus Dokora, who said he would only comment after reading the petition. At the same time, the Zamara family and friends petitioned UNICEF today over the organization's recent statement that children should not be used in protests. This after children of missing activist Itai Zamara were part of the protests held last week over Zamara's abduction by suspected state security agents in March last year. Zamara's brother Patson, who submitted the petition to UNICEF's country representative, Reza Hossein, together with Itai's wife Shefra and two children, said they would continue to protest against UNICEF until it retracts its statement.
The engagement was very positive and fruitful. They were friendly, and so we are hoping to have a positive response.
Tajamuka says Jigile campaign members also petitioned UNICEF yesterday over the same issue. UNICEF officials declined to comment. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe President Obed Masaraure today appeared before a Murewa magistrate facing charges of contravening some provisions of the dreaded Public Order and Security Act or POSA after leading his executive in a 200-kilometer march from Mutawatawa to Harare to press the government to address teachers' needs. Masaraure was arrested yesterday together with five other union leaders, but Secretary Robson Chere, Coordinator Blessing Makunike, Spokesperson Robson Ruhanya, Programs Officer Pride Mukono and Board Secretary Lynette Mudewe were released before they appeared in court, with the state saying it will continue by way of summons. Lawyer Gift Mtisi of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, who represented Masaraure and his colleagues, speaks to reporter Jonga Kandemiri about the court case.
I am representing the leadership of the Rural Teachers Association. In respect of the six of them all, they were facing a charge of public nuisance. When we went to court, the prosecution did not prosecute. It just withdrew, not the charges. It just said, we'll make the investigations and we'll proceed by way of summons. So they were freed, pending being called by way of summons. Then in respect of Bet Masarore alone, he was facing a further charge of failing to notify the regulatory authority of the district concerning the meeting in terms of POSA. So that one, he was charged and we appeared in court. He was granted $50 bail with conditions that he must continue to reside at Chairman's High School till the matter is finalized. He must report once every Friday at the nearest police station. He should also not interfere with witnesses.
What is Mr. Masarore saying about these allegations?
Mr. Masarore is denying the allegations.
We understand that the police also impounded the vehicle they were using. Have you managed to recover it?
Right now I am at the police station. I'm trying to negotiate and to hear from the police whether they can release the vehicle to my client or if they want to detain it for what purpose.
That was Attorney Gift Mtisi of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights on the line from Murewa with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. In Harare, meanwhile, Kuwadzana Member of Parliament Nelson Chamisa of the MDCT yesterday moved a motion that called on the police to stop brutalizing peaceful protests, but debate on the motion was called off after ZANU-PF members walked out of chambers. Chamisa told Studio 7 that his motion was aimed at stopping the onslaught against citizens and a probe into the beatings, of some of which have been captured on video and spread through social media.
We've seen pictures, gory pictures, of people being bludgeoned, being beaten up, being violated physically, abused by the police. And this has to be stopped because it is against the Constitution. And I've said it is both unconstitutional, anti-constitutional as well, and African to proceed in a manner where those who are supposed to be keeping peace are actually tearing it apart. And this is why I had to bring this motion. Unfortunately, upon bringing the motion, there was a hullabaloo and pandemonium in the House of Assembly on account of the conduct by my colleagues from the other side, from ZANU-PF.
We understand some of the MPs actually walked out. Is that true?
Well, it has become fashionable and a tradition as well as a practice for our colleagues in ZANU-PF to walk away from ideas, to walk away from national issues, to walk away from pertinent national discourse. We wanted to debate this issue. We wanted to set up an inquiry into the conduct of the police. We wanted to make sure, in line with the Constitution, Section 119.
Now, what's the way forward after it didn't go through?
It is not a walk in the park. A struggle is a struggle. It is impediments. It is an uphill task. We'll make sure that we push again, because there was no quorum on account of our colleagues having moved out of Parliament. We are now going to again debate it on Tuesday when Parliament resumes. If they don't come again, we'll push to the next day until we push it.
That was Kuwadzana Member of Parliament Nelson Chamisa of the MDCT. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. And now we take a look at regional and international news. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump's campaign chairman Paul Manafort has resigned, the campaign said in a statement released today. American swimmer Ryan Lochte has apologized for his behavior in a robbery scandal in Rio following his competition in the Olympics, releasing a statement on Twitter today. And Republicans are sharply criticizing the Obama administration over Thursday's revelation that the United States used a cash payment of $400 million to Iran as leverage to ensure the release of a group of American prisoners that were held by Tehran.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. Senior officials from the U.S. Embassy in Vientiane and U.S. Pacific Command, or USPACOM, met in Honolulu with senior officials from the Lao Ministry of National Defense for the 11th Lao-United States Bilateral Defense Dialogue. Brigadier General Khin Chan Nantalasi, Director of Foreign Relations Department, Ministry of National Defense, and Brigadier General Mark Gillette, Deputy Director of USPACOM Directorate for Strategic Plans and Policy, led the meeting. Over 30 Lao and U.S. delegates participated in the event, including representatives from the Lao Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Defense Security Cooperation Agency in Washington, D.C. Ambassador Daniel Kloon noted in his opening remarks the significant expansion of bilateral military cooperation in recent years and the positive impact it is having on the overall U.S.-Lao relationship. The Bilateral Defense Dialogue is a forum for bilateral consultations between the Lao Ministry of National Defense and U.S. Pacific Command to strengthen bilateral and multilateral cooperation, as well as develop defense cooperation programs that enhance relations between our security forces, encourage greater regional military cooperation, and promote the common interests of both countries. Primary topics of the dialogue included military-medical cooperation, civil-military operations, to include cooperation on humanitarian unexploded ordnance removal and disaster relief, training and education opportunities to include English language training and professional military education, and Lao People's Army participation in regional conferences, workshops, and senior-level meetings. The United States is proud to work with its partner Laos for the benefit of both nations and the Asia-Pacific region.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Some people with disabilities are working hard in a way which is dispelling the myth that disability is inability. In the following report, Safari Njema profiles two people with disabilities who have gone on to inspire the communities through self-reliant initiatives.
70-year-old Nison Sandiforo Banda from Chanu village in Domboshava went blind in 1994. Under normal circumstances, Banda, like many blind people, should be relying on well-wishers for sustenance. But his optimistic attitude towards life has made the father of six a symbol of inspiration to people in his community. Despite his condition, Banda owns a five-roomed house which he has electrified. To improve hygiene at his homestead, he designed a flushing toilet and a shower system which uses water from a well. He is also able to regularly prune fruit trees dotted around his homestead. To the eastern side of Banda's house is a vegetable garden. A thick layer of thatch grass that fences the garden prevents the ever-hungry goats and chickens from destroying the fragile plants. He says installing the water system at his homestead was a big challenge.
I started off by putting up a well. It took me 6 months to work for a submersible pump. And it took me 2.5 months to try and get the pumps, the pipes ready. And then I went into it, and I did it on my own. I did not ask anybody, but I did all the jobs, digging of the trench, joining of the pipes, until I put the water where I wanted it to be. But now, it didn't end up there. I have a toilet, which is a flushing system. I've got water in the garden. I've got water outside here, and I've got water inside the house. My wife is using a sink now.
Banda says he can do almost everything that sighted people can do.
I do all the washing on my own. I can do the washing, iron it with the iron. Iron, put some water on the fire, go to the bath, wash, and get dressed. I look smart. My wife is there. She's sick. She's not sick. She's tired today. I take all her washing, and I do the washing together with mine, with the kids washing together. I'm not scared like other people who say they don't wash their wife's clothes. No, I wash every cloth she puts on her body because she's my wife. I can do the cooking. I go to the shops, buy a piece of meat if I can afford it. If I fry the meat Vazukurangu vese, they will say, ah, it's uncle who cooked today. They know it.
He says what drives him is the need to demonstrate that people with disabilities have something special to give to society. Banda is that the greatest gift of all is inspiring others.
Something to give, you must give. Don't always be a receiver. Even in the Bible, they say giving hands are blessed than those that receive. When I did this project, people were watching me do it. They didn't know what I was doing until they found that I was opening water on the tap water outside. I've got a friend next to me. He's in the army. He has also gone into it now. He bought a submersible pump. He bought a tank. He came to me and asked how it is done. I showed him the way. Now he's got water in the house. He's got water in the toilet, which makes me happy because people are adopting what I've done.
Banda says people should also be patient with those with disabilities and assist them realize their potential.
It's not easy, but you need to teach them. If they are taught and shown the way around and how they live and how they stay with other people, you must not always sit down and say, I'm blind, I'm disabled, I'm the Down syndrome. Then you just sit down and say, God, come and help me. No, you've got to go to God and God will help you. But now, we must change. There's nothing that you cannot change. Anything can be changed. The only thing that you can change is the sun. It rises from one side and goes sinking the other side.
47-year-old Praxedes Chadambura from Pasina village in Chigondo area in Weza has attracted the attention of fellow women in her community who come to her for advice on how to work on various projects. Chadambura uses crutches and a wheelchair due to disability challenges. Despite her condition, she can weed the maize field while kneeling down. Chadambura's husband, Godfrey Pasina, was diagnosed with hydrocephalus at birth. The two do not have children. For the past 2 years, they have saved enough money to build a four-roomed house and a hut. Chadambura says women with disabilities should be bold in starting self-help projects in their communities. 26-year-old Farai Munodawafa is a journalism student at Harare Polytechnic. Farai, who did his secondary education in the United States, says people with disabilities should have the courage to overcome their condition. He gave the example of his friend at college in the United States, Leroy Sutton, who went into sport without pitying himself.
When he went to college, he met a friend who was blind, and they joined a wrestling team. They were recruited to wrestle together. So the blind friend would carry the friend who had no legs, and they kind of combined senses, so to say, and became like a superhuman, where the one would just navigate using his voice and the other would walk. Instead of him having to use a wheelchair, the blind man was now the wheelchair. And, you know, it was an incredible thing to witness. You would see how a friendship and a bond can produce just greatness.
Farai says people with disabilities should realize that they will only receive respect and recognition if they go the extra mile.
Your initial thought when you see someone with a disability, like my friend, you would think, you would feel some sort of maybe pity, and you would want to extend a helping hand and, you know, help them out wherever that you could. But upon doing so, you would realize this person would want to engage with you on the same level in which you want to engage with him, because you realize this person with a disability is pushing so hard to achieve things that normal people are trying to achieve as well.
Meanwhile, Sustain Moyo, an entrepreneur in Chitungwiza, works with people with disabilities and encourages them to realize that they can achieve a lot in life. He says those with disabilities can be role models if government, the private sector and individuals assist them with the resources.
The focus of my training is to help them, to capacitate them to look at themselves in a different way, in such a way that whatever talent that they have, whatever they can do, whether using their hands or anything that they have that they can use to create something, they should be aware that this can also save communities that they live in, and those people around them and themselves for that matter. How? Because whatever they can do using their talents can also bring money to them.
Computer instructor at the University of Zimbabwe Disability Resource Center, Ishe Unoziva Chinyoka, is blind. He says people with disabilities have an obligation to show society that disability does not mean inability.
These stories, they are inspiring. They simply show that people with disabilities, they are not a liability to the society. Rather, they are assets. Because in both instances, these people, they are contributing to the welfare of the society.
Chinyoka says those with disabilities should aim to live independently to get the respect of the community.
In both cases, we are seeing examples of independent living skills.
Chinyoka says independent living does not mean that people with disabilities should live in isolation. He says such people should have control of their everyday lives. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
In sports news, there's still a medal hope for Zimbabwe at the Olympic Games. Reporter Michael Kariati tells us why.
Marathon runners Wirimai Joao, Cuthbert Nyasango and Patson Lovu still carry Zimbabwe's hopes for a medal when they take to the road in the 42-kilometer marathon over the weekend. The three have the chance to either make it or join the rest of the disappointing Zimbabwean athletes, some of whom failed to make it even past the first stage of their competitions. The marathon is the last event on the Olympic Games program, and the last time in 2012, Wirimai Joao finished seventh, just three places away from a bronze medal. Joao knows that nothing less than a seventh place finish will be accepted back at home and promised to do his best.
We did quite well. We are hoping that if everything goes well, we'll do our best as we always do. We can't promise to be first or second or number one, but what we always promise to go out there and do our best and present our country very well.
Nyasango finished in ninth position at the London Games, and a lot more effort is needed if he is to get Zimbabweans to celebrate. Ndlovu is taking part in his first ever Olympic Games, but has shown potential. Now to football. Football authorities have warned that those who cause mayhem at this weekend's matches and others to follow will be arrested and prosecuted. Premier Soccer League Chief Executive Officer Kenan Ndebele says they've asked clubs to have a huge police presence and private security details to counter hooliganism. The warning comes following disturbances which rocked Bafield Stadium during the match between Highlanders and Chicken Inn. During the game, Highlanders fans threw missiles onto the pitch and had running battles with the police unhappy with the match officiating. After the Blair incident, Highlanders are away to ZPC Kariba for their 20th game of the PSL program at Nyamunga Stadium tomorrow. ZPC Kariba normally play their best football against the top teams, especially when playing at home, and Coach Sande Chidzamwa is happy with his side.
The addition of the new acquisitions did an excellent job for the team, and I think we have to try and pick it up from there when we play our league games. I like solid defense, and it's solid.
On Sunday, Dynamos play Harare City, which is coached by former Dimbare mentor Moses Chunga. Dynamos supporter Tinashe Macheka says Chunga will fall.
Moses Chunga is a very good, respectable coach, well-traveled also. But I think his unbeaten run is going to come to an abrupt end at against Dynamos.
Other matches are as follows. Chicken Inn versus Cholocho, White City. Auma Inn versus Chapungu, Luveve. Sunday, Border Strikers versus Ngezi Platinum Stars, Dilwazimu. Mutare City Rovers versus Wange Sakuba Stadium. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. Now to recap today's top stories. Members of Women of Zimbabwe Arise stage a peaceful protest over delays in introducing free education in the country. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande, handing you over to Ntungameli Nkomo for Studio 7 News in Ndebele. Good night, Zimbabwe.